Hey, what's going on, everybody? You're listening to Seggy Station. This man has a nickname, always a lot to say with no shame. Tuesday, April 27th, 2021. Hope all's well out there, everybody. Hope everyone's staying safe. Nick Seglin here, coming in solo today. As yesterday, I was able to catch up with a couple of my boys, Chew, Smats, the Stats Kid, Rich, Hot Takes, Letty. Much love for the boys coming through. A lot to catch up on the world of sports, and we did so yesterday, but I still got some stuff to get out today. Gonna have a busy rest of the week, so I probably won't be able to come in and do any of my podcast work. But with the NFL draft just two more days from now, a lot going on in the NBA, plenty of topics to cover across the sports world, and I gotta update a few people here with some things I got going on. So figured I'd come in with a little solo burst before I go and get some golf in this afternoon. Been trying to play a little more golf, spend a little bit more time with my pup as much as I can, but when I'm golfing, podcasting, not able to do that, so only so much time in a day. Trying to spend my days off the way I enjoy to, and I got a lot of passion for talking sports, getting some of my takes out there, and I thoroughly enjoy getting back at it solo after catching up with a couple of the boys yesterday. Always appreciate you checking out any of the work here we do with the podcast, as always, up and follow along on my Instagram or Twitter page. Got a live version up where you can follow along and listen to the podcast on my Twitch stream. It's underscore Seggy underscore G. Got the podcast up on Spotify. You can check it out there if you got Spotify. Just search the Seggy Station podcast. Also still available via link on Instagram in my Podbean, where I started originally posting my content. Out on a few other platforms as well. Much love, as always, for the support. Looking forward to continuing getting into the sports talk, sports world. A lot to get into today. Gonna do so right now. It's time for Straight Talk. Brought to you by Seggy Straight Talk. Microphone is always direct. Time to reflect. So, yep, wild week this week, of course. Obviously, with the NFL draft, NBA season here is getting into the crunch time. MLB has got some storylines, and obviously, you got some active streaks that were lost. There's rumors and lies continuing to fly with the NFL draft and who's going where and where they're going, and that buildup is always exciting. No more exciting than the actual draft taking place, which is finally this week. All the NFL draft talk to me is nonsense. I mean, Kyle Shanahan saying, quote, "I can't guarantee anybody in the world will be alive on Sunday." When asked about who he's taking with number three overall, if Jimmy G is going to be on the roster. I mean, a lot of this stuff is nonsense. And I'm looking forward to seeing how draft shakes out. I'm excited to see what the Giants do with not only the 11th pick, but a few other picks in this year's draft, particularly looking at what they're going to do, maybe adding another weapon for Daniel Jones, bulking up a defense that, in my opinion, continues to get overlooked. So, got plenty of picks, 11 overall in round one for the Giants, round two, pick 42, round three, pick 76. We have 116 in round four and two picks in round six, nearly back-to-back, 196 and 201. Looking forward to those selections. I'm sure everyone that is a fan of their squad is looking forward to who their team selects. And looking into the reports on who they might select, who they're liking, who they're loving, really all shakes down to who's there. And that's when talking about all this stuff, to me, gets a little bit overblown, because you don't really know what's going to be a lie, what's going to be the truth, and realistically, it's a whole bunch of predictions and opinions that, yeah, people with credibility and follow the league and know stuff about, but realistically, the only people that really know what's going to go on are the people inside those organizations. I've said that a few times here on my podcast, and I do believe that just getting the draft started, the process, seeing who goes where, how the board falls, is all important to who you end up getting. And to overlook the fact that not only at the quarterback position, but at any position when drafting in this league, You're taking an absolute risk. In my opinion, it's an absolute crapshoot. You have no idea if this guy is going to go to be a elite superstar talent in this league, an average NFL player that can play for a decade, or an absolute bust who's out of this league in 2 years. You realistically have no idea. You also have no idea how injuries, not only prior to them being drafted or after being drafted, impact their careers. We've seen plenty of players that we thought would contribute to their teams much longer, not able to do so because they're taken away from the game because of injuries. Obviously, it's a physical sport, and what you don't understand is if you don't look at it that way and you look at it like, oh, well, even Trevor Lawrence, if we get him number one overall, he's going to be around for 2 decades and I'm guaranteed to get to a couple Super Bowls. That's not the case. We've seen plenty of times where guys going number one, number two, top 10 in their draft class at the quarterback position, not able to ever make a Super Bowl. And being able to bring a team to a Super Bowl from abyss, which is what the Jacksonville Jaguars are, would be absolutely incredible. I mean, absolutely a great sports story. But I don't think that you could expect to see that within 5 years. I mean, maybe Trevor Lawrence is Justin Herbert, but I don't think so. Trevor Lawrence has the opportunity to absolutely be Justin Herbert. But at the same time, did anybody see Justin Herbert being better than Joe Burrow? Joe Burrow, great player. Will Joe Burrow ever make a Super Bowl? It's a lot of these things that I look back at last year's draft. I look at the drafts prior, and I look into this draft. And you can go back and look into any of the drafts and see how those affected players that were drafted in those particular spots, which teams they're drafted by, and how that all impacts the NFL draft that obviously gets a lot of attention. And obviously we're all hyped about. But let's just let it happen. And it'll be happening 2 more sleeps, the NFL draft. Looking forward to that. Thursday, ESPN, ABC, 8 p.m. Eastern time. Shout out to them G-men. We'll see how it goes. Keep my fingers crossed that Devontae Smith is still on the board. I think Devontae Smith is going to be legit. I really hope that Devontae Smith winds up on the New York Football Giants. A lot of people saying he's too small. He's a 2-time national champion, 2-time SEC champion, 2020 Heisman Trophy winner, 2020 Maxwell Award winner, 2020 Biletnikoff Award winner, 2020 Walter Camp Award, 2020 AP Player of the Year, 2020 Paul Hornung Award winner and SEC career receiving yards record. We all know what he did. Bama won the national championship, and what he did in that national championship, Devontae Smith is a elite talent. When I looked at a lot of the notable wide receivers that are coming out in this draft, Ja'Marr Chase, 6'201", Devontae Smith, 6'170", after originally being listed in the pre-draft process at 166. Jalen Waddle's 5'9 and 170. He's being talked about as a Tyreek Hill prospect. I'll give you a stat on him. He's got 17 receiving touchdowns in his career in college. Of those touchdowns, he averages 44.5 yards. Rashad Bateman, 6'190". Terrence Marshall, 6'2", 205. Kadarius Toney, 5'11", 193. Elijah Moore, 5'9", 178. Rondell Moore, 5'7", 181. Dyami Brown, 6'189". I'm not seeing a lot of Calvin Johnsons, Keyshawn Johnsons. I'm not seeing a lot of Kenny Galladay's and Julio Jones in this draft. I'm seeing a lot of small guys that aren't as heavy, that have more speed. That's kind of what you're seeing the NFL morph into. Guys that can cut on dimes, literally shake anybody out of their shoes, and blow over the top of any defense and catch a deep ball. I think Devontae Smith has that, also with the opportunity to be able to destroy the NFL in the slot. I think Devontae Smith can run any route you ask him to run. You see him running routes at Alabama, out of the backfield, wheel routes. I think Devontae Smith will be the best wide receiver in this draft. And I'm praying that he's added to the New York Football Giants, because we had a guy in Kenny Galladay, which, yeah, we overpay for potentially. And a lot of people are saying that, and that's okay. I'm happy that we overpaid for a guy in Kenny Galladay when you look at what the Giants have had for Daniel Jones in terms of weapons over his first 2 years. To me, it's not enough. And to me, you're seeing the exact opposite of what the New York Jets are doing for their quarterback that they drafted just 3 years ago and now is on another team. The New York Giants are out here trying to give weapons to Daniel Jones to see if he's the guy before getting rid of him. And I do think that if you surround him with true talent, unlike the Jets did, the Giants will 100% know if Daniel Jones is their guy in 2022 and beyond. And for that extra million that you're giving Kenny Galladay, it's worth it. Drafting a guy in Devontae Smith who could be a perennial elite player in this league, to me, is worth it when you pair that with Kenny Galladay, Sterling Shepard, Darius Slayton, Saquon Barkley coming back healthy. I think the Giants are a team that everyone's sleeping on, and I know it comes across as biased because I'm a Giants fan, but we've been one of the worst teams in the NFL over the past 5 years, and that's not even debatable. But I think things are turning around a lot quicker than people are going to give it credit for, and this draft to me is a key draft for this fan base going forward. Looking forward to it for sure. Let me touch on this that I saw in the NFL over the weekend that I didn't touch on yesterday with the boys, and this actually has my mind blown because I know the Kansas City Chiefs added Joe Thuney was his name from the Patriots via free agency after we all know that Patrick Mahomes was running for his life in the Super Bowl, nearly 500 yards, 497 to be exact, to avoid Bucs pass rushers in the Super Bowl, most by any quarterback all season. We all remember what that was like, and the Kansas City Chiefs certainly addressed their weakness. Here's something that Patrick Mahomes might be happy about. They rebuilt their offensive line, which will now include Orlando Brown via trade from the Ravens, Joe Thuney, Kyle Long, and Austin Blythel, not to mention the return of Laurent Duvernay-Tardif from the 2020 opt-out due to COVID. When you look at the offensive line in Kansas City now, it's completely rebuilt. The Kansas City Chiefs have made it to back-to-back Super Bowls. I think there's no doubt in my mind that their weakness was the offensive line, clearly even during those two Super Bowl runs. And to look at what they've done now, this offseason with their offensive line, obviously with Pat Mahomes, people forgetting that they drafted Clyde Edwards-Helaire at running back, got a guy coming back off of opt-out at running back in Damian Williams. Obviously, you lose Sammy Watkins, but the weapons are there in Tyreek Hill and Travis Kelce. I'm sure they could draft anybody at all times. It's not even fair. I get that the Ravens and Orlando Brown were in a little bit of a gripe. He wanted to play left tackle. They paid a guy to play left tackle. Kansas City Chiefs see, well, if we can get Orlando Brown, we'll trade our first round pick this year to the Ravens, in which the Ravens got a first round pick this season, a third round pick this season, a fourth round pick this season, and a 2025th round pick. But the Chiefs get Orlando Brown Jr., 2021 second-round pick, and a 2021 sixth-round pick. Clear to me that the Chiefs are winners in this trade. A Ravens situation where, to be quite frank here, I've been hearing that the Ravens talking about drafting a QB, and Lamar Jackson isn't the guy, an MVP-caliber guy. When you go look at the numbers between Lamar Jackson and Pat Mahomes in the 2019-2020 season, they're not far off. Those past 2 years, Pat Mahomes 25-4, Lamar Jackson 24-6. 64 touchdowns, 11 interceptions, Pat Mahomes 62-15 for Lamar Jackson. 66 completion percentage, 65 completion percentage for Lamar Jackson. These guys' numbers are identical, with total touchdowns for Lamar Jackson equaling 76 during those two seasons, 68 for Patrick Mahomes, and we all know what he is. The Ravens are a wide receiver away from being an elite squad if they can protect their quarterback. Getting rid of Orlando Brown, to me, didn't make a lot of sense, and giving it to the Kansas City Chiefs, in which it was their clear weakness, and only to make them better, in which a team you haven't been able to beat come postseason time, or regular season for that matter, was interesting to say the least. You know, I mentioned that last time on my pod, and I did a little research on this because I love this about the draft talk that I covered in the first segment. Like the Ravens GM basically saying that we don't need a wide receiver. We love our wide receivers. Well, the Ravens were last season in NFL ranks in targets with 219, last in wide receiver receptions with 137, last in wide receiver receiving yards with 1,729, and last in receiving first downs with 83. So to sit here and say that you like your wide receivers, you don't need a wide receiver for your MVP caliber quarterback in Lamar Jackson to potentially get past the Chiefs, to potentially compete in the AFC with the Chiefs, to me is a straight up lie. It's a lie. And I heard them talking about it this morning. Oh, what's the biggest lie with now Mac Jones being talked about as the clear number three overall pick and now San Francisco coming out and basically saying, oh, we don't know and blah, blah, blah. It's all smokescreen shit and we'll wait and see. I think Mac Jones is the number three overall pick to the Niners. And if you're two or three days away, not knowing who you're going to take after trading up to the number three overall pick from 12, to me, that doesn't make sense either. And that would be not a great run organization. I do think it's interesting with the Broncos here, as I wanted to talk about this with Chu yesterday and I didn't, because the quarterbacks drafted by the Broncos in the first two rounds since Elway retired are Jay Cutler in 2006. He went 17-20 with Denver. Tim Tebow in 2010, we all know his story, 8-6 with Denver. Brock Osweiler in 2012, 5-6. Paxton Lynch in 2016, 1-3. And Drew Lock in 2019, 8-10 as the starter in Denver. I've said it here to Chew a few times. I guess I didn't want to say it to him again, but I do think that Drew Lock is not the answer for the Denver Broncos. They've been in talks of trying to go after some guys this offseason that obviously have not been signed by other teams. Will the Broncos want to address quarterback competition via the draft? Slated at the number nine pick right now, I think they could have a chance to grab one of these guys, five QBs that we're talking about here in the upcoming draft. Potentially seeing that no defensive players could go in the top 10, talking about Chewy and his love for Micah Parsons and potentially taking and bolstering that defense with the Denver Broncos. I think that'd be a mistake because we know that it's an elite defense if Von Miller's returning healthy and what they got there in the secondary. I think the offensive weapons and Melvin Gordon, talking about him being slept on, even though they lose Philip Lindsay, I think the Denver Broncos have plenty of weapons to be able to be a playoff contending football team paired with that defense. And if you can do it with all three phases and special teams. To me, the question marks are Vic Fangio and Drew Lock. And which one's going to be gone first? I thought Vic Fangio would have been gone by now, but he's still there. So how much longer are you going to be able to sit back and hand these keys over to Drew Lock and him to act like it's some type of joke? Because to me, that's what he's doing a lot of the time. And if I'm a teammate of this guy's, I'm not thrilled with his performance after being drafted in the, I think it was the second round, back in 2019. He may have even been first round. Definitely a huge year for Daniel Jones, but I think even a bigger week right here for Drew Lock. We'll see if the Broncos have Drew Lock as their starting quarterback to start the season. Did need to update a couple of active streaks that are going on across sports. The NHL, Golden Knights were on a 9-game longest win streak in franchise history. Their next game is Wednesday versus the Avalanche, which is tomorrow, so we'll see if they're able to keep that going. The Knicks had tied their second longest win streak in 25 years at 9. Their game last night with the Suns, they did end up getting beat by the Suns. Chris Paul, absolutely incredible shots. One off-balance floater in the lane, another pull-up sidestep three to pretty much dagger the Knicks in their win streak. But the Knicks were definitely competitive in that game. Julius Randle, not his best performance, and to them to only lose by 8 to the Suns on some Chris Paul heroics. I think the Knicks are still in good shape come playoff contention, and we'll see what they're able to do making the playoffs for the first time in 7 years. The Oakland Athletics are on the longest win streak, their longest win streak, I'm sorry, since 2002, which was at 20 games. They're currently at 13. Their next game, I'm not sure if they won last night, so they had a game last night. I'll have to check that. But definitely a few active streaks across all sports that provide some intrigue for not only the leagues, but fans of those teams. So just wanted to shout out those streaks as well. The Wizards had their streak snapped as well last night in an overtime loss to the Spurs. Russell Westbrook has another triple-double, but unfortunately it comes in a loss. Brad Beal scores 45, and they lose in overtime to the San Antonio Spurs. After the game, Russell Westbrook says, quote, "There is no player like myself, and if people want to take it for granted, sorry for them." Russell Westbrook, as always, keeping it 100. "I certainly don't take you for granted, my man. And I also, after seeing the story about Shelby Delaney, the healthcare hero who back when COVID really started ramping up in the country, wore the Steph Curry jersey under her gear or whatever that she had to wear. She was able to actually catch a courtside game this past week, received a signed jersey from Steph Curry, and it's just another thing listening to her talk about how Steph Curry inspires her to just be a better person and really do the things that she's doing in her life. I've really used Russell Westbrook as that catalyst for myself, not only with my podcast, and really just not giving a shit what anybody cares or thinks about what I'm doing. And if you don't appreciate it or you take it for granted, then I'm sorry. To be honest, there's, in my opinion, nothing worse than to be taken for granted. And I do see Russell Westbrook being taken for granted a lot of the time. And that certainly is not going to happen here. Shout out to my guy, Russ. I do think the Wizards still make the play-in after climbing back up into the 10th seed. And who knows, I still got the Wizards hopefully coming out of the play-in, making the 8th seed. And depending on who they play, we'll see how it goes. Looking forward to seeing how the standings shake out. Looking forward to seeing how things go, obviously, with the NBA. A lot to cover in the NBA with the power rankings. Wanted to touch on the Lakers a little bit with LeBron trying to make his way back. Saw John Wall's going to miss the remainder of the season. Wanted to touch on that. Obviously, with talks of stuff here on the podcast with my guy Rich about the whole trade between Russ and John Wall. Definitely got some smoke on that. Let's see what else I got. Shohei Ohtani, I saw with a Smats bomb yesterday, was the first pitcher since Babe Ruth to take the mound, leading the league in home runs or tied for the league in home runs. Last night, he was 2-for-3, 2 RBIs, 9 Ks. Y'all know how I feel about Fernando Tatis Jr. Basically, the only baseball player I like in terms of that I want to follow, want to see play on any given night, want to see make plays. This guy, Shohei Ohtani, is the real deal. And pairing him with a guy like Mike Trout, I think it makes games must-watch for the Angels when he's either pitching, hitting, whatever it is. This guy, Shohei Ohtani, is legit. And I think it's good for the sport to be talking about more of the players, more of the good things that you see the players doing, celebrating, not this old head bullshit with rules and all the other rhetoric that you can go and listen to yesterday's podcast with Chew, and y'all know how I basically feel about that. Wanted to go through a quick draft rundown before I get out of here as well, and I saw that Denver has now won 6 out of their last 7, making it pretty hard for the Eggman, Nikola Jokic, not to be the MVP of this league, but we'll wait and see how that shakes out. Also saw the Kings get their first win last night without De'Aaron Fox this season. The Mavs suffered a loss in that regard, and that is, to me, not a good look for a Mavs team that a lot of people are taking to be a sleeper in the West. If you can't beat the Kings without De'Aaron Fox, I'm not so sure you're going to be able to represent the West in the Western Conference Finals, or even, obviously, getting out of the Western Conference Finals. Luka's the real deal, but I think they're missing some pieces for sure, and Kristaps Porzingis is not really that dude. Great player when he's able to be on the court, but best ability is availability, as Rich said yesterday, and he's not available enough and not consistent enough to have the Mavs as contenders in the West. I think I'm going to have to back off my original bold take there of them getting into the Western Conference Finals, because I don't think they will be able to do so, even with Luka, Magic. I think the Clippers are a legit squad right now. A lot of people not even talking about the Clippers. And so I'm going to go through some power rankings, a couple other things in the NBA before I get out of here, and a couple other quick shout-outs as well after I take my quick break, because I need a drink and I want to get through some reads. So we'll be right back here on the Seggy Station. Hey, what's going on, everybody? Welcome back. Seggy Station is brought to you by Callie's Love. A man's best friend is a dog. Shout out to Ruskin, out to many, but a life-saving companion to me. To me, not to promote true home happiness in a household, but a loving companion of a pet. Especially at a time like this, get yourself a little pet friend like mine at your local animal shelter, pound, or nursery. Save their life, and they just might save yours. Now it's time for your Sports Center update. Shout out to my guy, Smike. Sean Lee announces his retirement after 11 seasons in the league. Won't have to hear from the Cowboys fans about Sean Lee having to retire. Great career, incredible talent. Usually injured. Sean Lee announces retirement, 11 seasons with the Cowboys. NBA experts say, quote, an easy approval to make the play-in tournament permanent going forward. Happy to hear that. Looking forward to that being an official announcement at some point. The Giants, as I mentioned, reportedly split at number 11 pick. Head coach Joe Judge loves Devontae Smith. Love to see that. The organization likes J.C. Horn a lot, and Dave Gettleman apparently loves Micah Parsons, according to Peter King. We'll see who's there. We'll see who they take. Giants fans, rejoice. This is going to have to be the year. I mean, this is tough. College football playoff considered expanding, but they are staying at four teams. Totally laughable to even come out and say that. As they said, the options discussed range from 6 to 16 teams. A smiling Tiger Woods posted a picture on Instagram of himself using crutches with a dog in the background while joking about the process of his rehab. The Browns pick up Baker Mayfield's fifth-year option. Also, Baker Mayfield doubling down on UFO sighting. Gonna have to say something about that before I head out of here as well. Clippers to sign DeMarcus Cousins for the remainder of the season after two 10-day contracts. Congrats to Will the Thrill Zalatoris on his longtime girlfriend and his longtime girlfriend on their engagement yesterday. An autographed LBJ rookie card fetches for a record-breaking $5.2 million in private sale, which shatters the record for the most valuable basketball card ever sold. Tom Brady's signed rookie card sells for $2.5 million for the second time in the last month, shattering the most valuable football card. Mark Leishman and Cameron Smith win at the Zurich Classic of New Orleans. Brooks Koepka will face David Portnoy in a $250,000 Barstool charity event that I discussed yesterday. And finally, Vikings wide receiver Justin Jefferson will be the first NFL player featured in the Fortnite video game. Fortnite is implementing Jefferson's gritty dance to the game. Tuning back in, Nick Seigling here, Seggy Station Podcast. Saw that Paul Pierce just sold his Calabasas mansion for $8.7 million after being fired by ESPN. Not a good look for Paul Pierce. But hey, all power to you. Maybe you found a better place to go, but kind of looking like you needed some money after making a very poor choice, which we obviously discussed here on the podcast. I got a few more just things to discuss here solo on the podcast before I get out of here. Want to touch on the NBA power rankings, which I saw the NBA release on yesterday for their normal weekly stint that they do. And they have the Clippers at the number one slot, Nets in the second slot, Suns in the three slot, Sixers in the four, Jazz in the five to round out the top five. I saw the Knicks cracking the top 10 along with the Grizzlies, both of them taking losses last night. We'll see if they're able to stay in the power rankings. But mine would be a little bit different. I think the Clippers are the number one team right now in terms of the NBA, the power rankings. I think a lot of people sleeping on the Clippers. The fact that they've won 11 of their last 12 games, 19-5 since the All-Star break, and they beat the Grizzlies this past week without PG, Kawhi, Rondo, and Reggie Jackson. The Grizzlies are a legit team for me. Clippers even more legit, a team that a lot of people I think are sleeping on because we had them doing stuff last year in the playoffs and they weren't able to live up to those expectations. I think adding Rajon Rondo, I think having a healthy Kawhi Leonard who's been load managed this season and Paul George playing much better this regular season. Can he translate it to the playoffs? I think he can. I think Ty Lue being the head coach is an X factor, and I think the Clippers have a chance to represent the West. They might have to match up with the Lakers in the first round, which I think will be extremely intriguing, obviously, with the fact that we've wanted to see that last year and weren't able to because they blew a 3-1 lead, did the Clippers, to the Denver Nuggets. The Lakers were there and ready to meet. Clippers did not make it. Do they face this year? Obviously, LeBron James coming back at some point helps the Lakers, but question marks surrounding Anthony Davis, Montrezl Harrell, new addition in Andre Drummond, Dennis Schroeder, all the things surrounding the Lakers. I'm not as worried about them as a lot of people in the sports media are, but I do believe the Clippers make my top spot for the power rankings as of right now. I would then lean Suns in the two spot, CP3, Devin Booker, I think are slept on. I think the Suns can do some damage in the West even after not doing anything in the West for about 9 years. 76ers, I would have in the three slot. I think them being kind of ravaged by Ben Simmons, Joel Embiid, not being able to play as much together this year as they'd like. I do think come playoff time, getting them back on the court together with Tobias Harris, with some of the other roster pieces they have around them, young guys, not young guys, veteran guys. I think the Sixers have a chance to come out of the East. The Nets, I would then have at the 4, Jazz at the 5. If Donnie Mitchell comes back, I think the Jazz, as I mentioned yesterday on the podcast, can win a playoff series strictly because of Donovan Mitchell. Do not have the Bucks in the top 5, but I think they'd slate at 6. Just wanted to give a quick shout out to Giannis, who passed Glenn Robinson for second most points in Bucks history this past week, scoring 12,010 total career points in a Bucks uniform. Giannis now only trails Kareem Abdul-Jabbar with 14,211 on the Bucks all-time scoring list. Watched the Bucks lose a game to the Hawks the other night without Clint Capella, which I need to just tell you about Clint Capella's historic season real quick because I've been plugging him a few times. He's averaging 15.7 points per game, 14.7 rebounds per game, which isn't 20 like I mentioned, so I needed to correct myself. But that does lead the NBA on 60.4 field goal percent shooting. He's the only player. Only other player has averaged 14-14 on 60% shooting in a season in the NBA was Wilt Chamberlain. So Clint Capella, obviously on a historic level. If he can stay on the court with the rest of the Hawks talent surrounding Trae Young, who is currently out as well with an ankle injury, I think the Hawks are a team to be reckoned with in the Eastern Conference as well. Let's see. Not sure. I guess I'd have the Hawks probably outside of the top 10, though. I think I'd have the Knicks in the top 10, though, even though they lost last night. Even though it's looking like the Knicks are going to have to face the Hawks, and me and Rich are going to have a serious battle on that one before it's all said and done. Just real quick, happy that I saw a report the NBA expecting an easy approval to make the play-in tournament permanent. I talked about it a little bit yesterday, just the fact that with less than a month left to go, you had not only one team, the first team, the Utah Jazz, clinching a playoff berth, you had the first two teams eliminated from playoff contention. Lasted a little bit longer. If you get an 82-game season back, assuming you're able to do that, next season with a play-in situation, you would expect that to even last hopefully a little bit longer. I think this did exactly what the NBA was hoping it would do, which would provide competitive games throughout the season for a longer period of time, and I think it did that. I've been watching plenty of NBA, as I always do, and I think you have a lot of competitive games, even with teams that are out of the playoffs already, and the Timberwolves going out and winning a game last night with D'Angelo Russell scoring 28 points with 12 assists. I mean, that stuff doesn't happen as much when 2 months ago, the Timberwolves are out of the playoff picture already because it's only 8 teams. I think the NBA does keep this going forward. I think this is great for the league. Even though a lot of people are upset about the one-and-done situation, single elimination, double elimination, 10 seeds making it to the 8th slot if they're so far behind, things I've talked about in the podcast, I do think it provides a little bit of that March Madness feel to the NBA, which, let's be real here, we all like that. Like the MLB adding the wild card round, one-and-done single elimination game, as much as baseball old heads hate that, I think that's great for the sport. Obviously, the NFL is one-and-done, no series type of play, and you win and move on, you can get hot and win a Super Bowl because of that. We've seen that with stories, obviously, with Cinderella stories, with the March Madness tournament being back this year. I think the NBA cracking into that territory is only a good thing for the league, a league that's obviously in very good standing with a lot of people around this country. Saw this yesterday. I needed to touch on this before I get out of here as well, which was, heard me talk a little bit about NBA Top Shot here on the podcast. I think that's legit. I haven't been able to follow that as much, but a lot of people have been getting into that. Dope. Talked about in the reads, sports cards being sold at a record-shattering amount for not only LeBron James, but Tom Brady. Obviously, cards and memorabilia and NBA Top Shot and all that sports-related is going to be hot topic here with everything going on, obviously, in this era of social media 2021, where we are at. I saw this, and Rich said this, that a Chiefs tight end was taking his entire salary in Bitcoin next year, which I think is pretty wild. His name's Sean Colkin, and I don't know enough about this Bitcoin cryptocurrency, so we got into a little bit of a talk yesterday, debate, whatever you want to call it, informational segment in our Instagram chat with the boys, which is pretty huge considering I don't have too many people to reach out to at this time anymore. So it's nice to be able to catch up with the boys on either a sports topic I want to hear about or just say what's up, whatever it is. Much love to them, but they filled me in a little bit on this Bitcoin cryptocurrency. I saw this with Mark Cuban. I've seen this with now this guy taking his entire salary with Bitcoin. I'm like, what is this whole thing? There's apparently a lot of places you can do it at. Robinhood, Duke does it at. E-Trader, I think Boosh was saying last night on P5. Rich is telling me, and I trust my guy Rich as basically the guy that knows all this stuff above me, this, I don't even know how to say it, this new wave link. I mean, he got me on the Top Shot. He gets me on everything. Rich is my plug for all the new wave shit. I kind of feel like a grandpa when I'm chilling with Rich, but that's beside the point. He was telling me about Bitcoin. He's telling me Coinbase is the main joint to do it at. So I checked out Coinbase. I get an app. I'm checking out Coinbase, looking into Bitcoin. You can go to NBA games that pay with Bitcoin. I'm like, well, all right, what's the deal with Bitcoin? Well, apparently one Bitcoin is worth about $54,000, which I'm like, all right, like, that'd be sweet if I had one Bitcoin. But apparently you can be, and I need to watch more informational video. Shout out to my neighbor, Dave, who used to just tell me, yo, go YouTube video it. You can get it. No problem. They'll explain it. Good point. I mean, you literally can just YouTube anything and figure out how to do it. Something I don't think about as much, but when I am struggling now, I tend to have him on my shoulder telling me to do that. And I will do that. Rich told me to do that. And I think that'll give me a little bit more insight into what I'm doing. But, I think Rich is certainly onto something. I think Smat's kind of throwing in a little bit of his remarks as well. The whole kind of wave, NBA Top Shot linked into this as well. Crypto, virtual, whatever you want to call it. The thing of the future, I guess, is the quote Rich gave me, which it's crazy to me how fast time goes by on a regular basis, day-to-day basis. Just in general, where obviously we're at with almost a year removed from a global pandemic that obviously is unprecedented and shaking up this entire world. Who knows what it'll be like 5-10 years from now with this crypto, with this sports, with everything. It's, I think, the almost scary but nice thing about life, right? Like, you're able to see where things go, see where things not go, only for yourself, but the people you love and support around you. I've talked about this here on my pod plenty of times. Sports meaning so much to me. The podcast meaning a lot to me. Just being able to do something I have passion for with really no set goals anymore, because I feel like I've reached a lot of them. And now the passion just comes for putting out content and being able to do it as much as I can and get as much support as I can, knowing that I can't force the support. Knowing that a lot of the support I feel like I had is no longer here. Finally getting back into the lab, getting tatted, getting yatted, as Booch would say. Fucking kid's hilarious. It's something I like to do. I finally got a tattoo this past week. My grandma's death date, which I needed to get to match up with my grandpa's. But unfortunately, I had to get a new guy. Place was straight. Guy was straight. Referral from a guy from work. Looking to go back this Friday, looking to go back, finish up all these things that I wanted to get done. But it kind of leads me to how I'm going to end the pod today, which is, I don't know what's worse. You mesh it in with sports, you mesh it in life, you mess it in with everything. Being lied to, the NFL draft bullshit, not being answered at all, because I think that is even worse. You know, I had a guy, a tattoo guy that I like going to, that it was kind of, you know, meaningful to me just because of all I've gotten done with him. And he was cool about it and whatever. COVID is a thing, and I don't know if that's the reason why he's not answering me anymore or whatever. He's not tattooing, whatever it is. I've reached out to him like 5-6 times, never heard back. So I had to get a new guy. It's just weird for me getting into this essence of the new guy, because even having my old guy match a tattoo that he did is kind of impossible. So what expectations can I have from a guy matching a tattoo that didn't do it? It's kind of this whole stuff I've been learning about, not only sports, life, tattoos, whatever, just meshing it into anything I'm going to feel about. I've been doing a lot of this stuff alone. Smats, Rich, got to come through and pod yesterday, which was dope. I'll be getting out to golf today and been trying to do that more. Spend time with my pup and stuff, but I only have so much time. And getting back to work, like, this week is going to be a wild week in sports. I already know. I get the itch to come in and do this and talk sports and get anything out that I want to say here real quick, because I feel like this is the only place I do it at. Other than that, it's just like the daily grind of not only trying to take notes and keep up with sports, but keep all this other stuff off my mind. I've been doing a lot better with it, I guess, but I've also still been just feeling kind of lonely, feeling kind of, I don't even know, not in a good place, just because I feel like I've missed so many people and have nobody, and it's just like a shitty feeling, man, over time. It just gets built up. And even with looking at some of the sports stories and following sports and having sports takes, I mean, that's only so much. And I think back at the pod here I did with Steve Landell. I'm supposed to golf with him today. Much love for coming on. Telling me basically, man, it's just sports. And I get all that, man. It is just sports. There's so many more important things than just sports. And realistically, when people are freaking out about dumb shit, I saw Marquise Goodwin said, I think he said it best, if you had $86,400 in your bank account and someone stole $10 from you, would you get upset and throw the remaining $86,390 away? No. See, we have 86,400 seconds each day. Don't let a negative 10 seconds ruin your entire day. You run this shit. pay attention. Marquise Goodwin is an incredible story, by the way. He had an infant who passed away, heading back to like the 2017 season. That's before I'm even covering sports. I'll have to do my research on that. But I know he got a one-year deal. I know he makes a very good point in the fact that you don't want to be the person giving any of that negative energy. I try and constantly give positive energy. It's tough when you're feeling kind of down, depressed, and negative. But the positive energy is important to me. And not letting any of that negative stuff ruin your day, or your dreams, your passions, or what you're trying to do is also extremely important to me. You know, seeing these Russell Westbrook quotes that I've covered, knowing that I can do a podcast and talk about and do whatever I want about because it's my podcast. And realistically, it's for me and my friends and whoever wants to support and listen to me. And that's good enough for me. Like, I used to want to get it and grow it and do all these things with it. And I still do. But there's only so much I feel like I can do with that. I feel like I've reached a lot of the goals I set out to do. And to think that I've talked about this plenty of times here on all the content-driven takes and rants that I've gotten out here on the way out that are probably way too long and you get bored of. But I started this on a mini mic that was plugged into my phone as kind of like, oh, shit, dude, I need something to do because I'm so bored. And it grew into this passion that, well, if anybody cares to listen to what I or my friends or whatever it is want to talk about, well, shit, it's just like anything else you can go and listen to. And that's been good enough for me. All the things going on with everything in life and sports and topics, it's only opinions and takes, and it's not the end of the world. It's not. And I think that's what I've just been noticing too, this cancel culture, this, oh, if you don't want to support me or what I'm saying or what anyone's saying, and you just want to do what you're doing, well then that's fine. But don't be that person out there on social media that's literally just horrible words. I mean, I saw obviously with everything happening this past week, people spray painting over George Floyd morals, obviously. Ridiculous comment. I mean, it's just ridiculous. I saw Donnie Trump's freaking, oh, the NBA has its lowest ratings, coming out talking about LeBron being racist and all this shit. Like, anybody can say and do whatever they want. Like, at all times. And it's all about what matters to you. What you want to hear and see and watch and do. That's it. You can still support people along the way, man. You don't have to be so one-dimensional that you gotta not support anybody but yourself. But it is important to support yourself and support what you're doing. And I try and do that as much as I can. I try and get posts up and retweets out and tell people about it. And I mean, that's what I'm going to do. That's what I'll continue to do. Pumped for this week of sports for sure. The rant was a little bit long, but felt like I had to get this out. It is the 40-year anniversary of Lawrence Taylor being drafted number 2 overall by the Giants today, and just wanted to throw that in my podcast before I leave. Saw Baker Mayfield doubling down on his UFO comments, which I talked about a little bit and before on the podcast, and just want to throw in the fact that he's also quoted for saying, whenever I'm about to do something, I think, would an idiot do that? And if they would, then I don't do that. Apparently that's some famous quote from some show that I think I've watched and know the name of, but don't know particularly where it's from, which I'm sure people will give me some gripe about. Coming to America 2 is dope, though. Watched a movie finally for the first time in a long time. Mentioned that yesterday. Moral of the story with that is, heard Marcus Spears' take on this, which was just literally downright hilarious. This whole thing with Baker and UFOs, it's just goes back to the last rant I just had, man. Everyone's going to have their own view and opinion on anything, including UFOs. And some people believe in them and seen them, and other people are like, dude, I don't know what the fuck you're saying or talking about. That's just the discrepancy you're going to get with all things, all topics, all who's getting drafted number three, non-sports related. It's just what it is. And you're either down with that or you're not. And you're either supporting people that like talking about stuff like this or you're not. That's cool. And I try and support as many people that I know that I see trying to do certain things like me. I try and spread the love. I try and reach my goal and passions of things that I set out to do over like a year ago now. Like, oh man, I want to have a podcast. I honestly never thought I could do it and stick with it. And I think in general, I've learned to also appreciate, even after I don't do this for 5 or 6 days and come back and act like I don't know how to do it. Yeah, I do. I know how to power everything up and do it. And I can do it for 10, 15 minutes a day, like Musty says, and post and do everything. But it takes up some time. I only have so much. I like the 1 week stints. It's tough catching up, because obviously there's so much going on, but I do my best. I try my best. And other people like doing it too with me. I mean, Rich hits me up and goes, yo, you potting today. Chew hits me up and wants to come through and pot. Other people that we've connected with that I've gotten on, that have reached out, that I've wanted to get on, it's stuff that I could never imagine. To me, that's like a good feeling at the end of the day with everything I have going on. You know, that I went outside my comfort zone, that I did something that I wanted to do with really no experience whatsoever. And really got it to a point that I never thought it could be. Just constantly grinding and thriving to let people hear me. My takes, what I gotta say. I think podcast is a new wave for real. Going forward, if you want to talk about futuristic stuff, I think people expressing their sports takes, feelings, views, life, whatever they want to talk about via podcast is definitely on the wave. Hopefully you support mine. Hopefully you're into what we're talking about here. Sports, life, sports involved in life. Spreading love, less hate. Treating people the way you want to be treated. Thinking before you speak. A lot of things that I think about and live by and have my friend come on and say. It is cool, man. I am just a guy with a nickname. I got it from my dad, who got a new puppy this past week, which is pretty cool. You know, I'm happy for my dad. Looking forward to hopefully stopping by to see him. Haven't seen him very much at all recently. Which kind of sucks, but that is what it is as well. Everybody has their own things. Everybody has their own views. Everybody has their sports takes. But if you don't have people really there supporting you, it's not a good feeling. And just to have at least a little bit of that left in regards to the people that do support me means a lot to me, man. Probably won't be back until after the weekend, but enjoy them sports, enjoy the draft, enjoy everything going on in the sports world. Hopefully we catch up soon. That's all I had for the airwaves today. Appreciate all listening as always, and as always, no shame what I had to say. Just a man with a nickname. Until next time, everybody, peace and love. Stay safe out there. You're listening to Seggy Station.